You're listening to a message from Gateway Church Geelong. We hope it blesses you. For more information about Gateway, visit gc.org.au.
Well, the title of my message is something that you can absolutely take into your week. It's something that you experience all the time. It's how to handle difficult conversations. How to handle those difficult conversations that we experience in our families, in our friends, in our workplaces. So let's come around the word this morning. You know, we all have to deal with difficult people or conversations at times. It's not fun when we find ourselves in those tennis match arguments. And the harder you argue, the harder the other person argues back. And before long, the interaction has become awkward and it's become uncomfortable or over emotional, and it's just not productive. And there are some key elements that I believe that as a church, as God's body, as parents, as staff members in workplaces, that we can learn to grow in these situations. Why? Because we all need to continually strengthen and grow in the way we handle conversations with those around us. And through the lives of Hezekiah, the woman Jesus ministered to in the book of John, and lastly, the disciple Peter, we can see clearly that through every difficult conversation, it was Jesus who knew how to handle the difficulties with truth and incredible kindness through his grace that brought restoration and incredible transformation to the lives that he interacted and spoke with. So can we look firstly at the life of Hezekiah? In 2 Kings chapter 20 verse 1 is where we're going to take it from. Hezekiah's illness. In those days, Hezekiah became ill and was at the point of death. The prophet Isaiah, son of Amos, went to him and said, "This is what the Lord says, Hezekiah. Put your house in order, because you are going to die. You are not going to recover." Some would say that this is the start of a very difficult conversation. Would you agree with me? Verse 2, Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord. "Remember, Lord, how I have walked before you, you faithfully and with wholehearted devotion, and have done what is good in your eyes." And Hezekiah understandably wept bitterly. Verse 4, before Isaiah had left the middle court, the word of the Lord came to him, "Go back and tell Hezekiah, the ruler of my people, this is what the Lord, the God of your father David, says, I have heard your prayer and I have seen your tears. I will heal you. On the third day from now, you will go up to the temple of the Lord, and I, Hezekiah, will add 15 years to your life. And I will deliver you from this city, from the hand of the king of Assyria. I will defend this city for my sake and for the sake of my servant David." You know, this was an incredibly difficult conversation. Hezekiah was suffering from a boil that became life-threatening. And the word was not delivered by a doctor, but it was delivered by God. How did Hezekiah handle this? A difficult conversation can render you to despair. But Hezekiah shows us that out of incredible difficulty, we can respond to God over our reactions. So number one, the condition of a man's heart can be seen through the word he speaks. Do you believe that the condition of a man's heart can be revealed through the very words that come from his heart and out of his mouth? Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord. Hezekiah's heart can be seen through the words that he speaks. "Remember me, Lord, my faithfulness as I have walked with you. I have been devoted to you, and what you have valued, I too have valued in my life." In difficult conversations, who do you cry out to? In difficult conversations, who do you turn to? Who do you handle the difficult conversations with? For Hezekiah, he cried out to God. He turned to him with incredible honesty that was raw from his heart. But what does honesty really supposed to sound like? What does honesty really look like? Do we just rip off the band-aid and the best policy is brutal honesty? Or can it be honesty that can get to the truth, but it can be filled with beauty? It can be filled with kindness. Holy Spirit breathes sensitivity and grace. You see, there is a very big difference between brutal honesty and honesty that is filled with God's kindness and grace. His grace that gives the ability and the power and the strength to be able to confront what it is that He's asking us to grow and go in. For transformation that He sees and desires for our life. Brutal honesty is high in honesty, but low in kindness and grace. And this is a strategy in which the communicator simply lays out the issue at hand without taking the listener's feelings into consideration. And as a result, the listener rejects the message and fails to take in the information that may have been of great importance to his life. We can see from Hezekiah's response that God did not use brutal honesty. God's honesty, filled with truth, full of kindness, gave Hezekiah time, delivered by a man of God who could be trusted in this moment. God's words, full of grace, didn't make Hezekiah fall in a ditch, but it actually propelled him to God Himself, where he poured his heart out to who he knew to be faithful. As a result, God's words, filled with His Spirit, raised Hezekiah up with incredible ability and strength to pray to God, to turn away from what could so easily distract and take a hold, to face the wall and pray from his heart to God. And as Hezekiah prayed, thank goodness God heard him. God hears your prayers this morning. As soon as those words leave your heart, God hears the prayers that you are praying to him. And as Hezekiah prayed, God heard him and spoke to Isaiah and said, stop, and said, tell Hezekiah, the ruler of my people, this is what the Lord says. I have seen your prayers and I have seen your tears and I will heal you. I will add 15 years to your life and I will deliver you and this very city. So how did Hezekiah handle a difficult conversation? Well, he turned away from the outcome. Turned his face to the wall to leave what may have become his greatest ditch and cried out to God. How did God handle a difficult conversation? With honesty, filled with love and grace and kindness, full of mercy. A conversation that transformed the life of Hezekiah and the city he lived in and his family around him. If you found yourself in a place handling conversations with brutal honesty, finding the listener is not receiving the important information that they may very well need, can I ask you to take a pause? Can I ask you to pray to God that you may experience His honesty filled with kindness and grace, and that you can take the moment, that very moment, to receive from the Holy Spirit what His loving kindness sounds like, feels like, and is like. Can I ask you to wait on God for His words to say, and as you say them at the right time, let God's grace, filled honesty, be shared to the very one who is listening to your conversation. God wants us to handle difficult conversations not with brutal honesty, but with honesty filled with His kindness and His grace that doesn't leave people in a ditch, but propels them to God Himself. So can we look at three practical steps on how we can handle difficult conversations? Would you like to know these practical steps? Because we all have difficult conversations in our families, in the supermarkets with people that we don't even know, and in our workplaces. So how can we handle difficult conversations practically? Well, I believe number one, it's with genuine concern. When having a difficult conversation, handle it by expressing genuine concern. The exact words used aren't nearly as important as the warmth of emotion that's expressed. And because the listener senses your genuine concern, he or she is more willing to listen to your feedback and take it to heart, even though hearing it can be unpleasant in the moment. Number two, how can we handle difficult conversations practically? Well, with God's grace. When having a difficult conversation, handle it by revealing God's grace that has been shown to you. Difficult conversations are an invitable part of life, but they also offer incredible opportunities for us to grow as people. And when someone is experiencing difficulty because of their own conflict, reveal God's grace, His kindness to them. And instead of reprimanding them for their behavior, reveal God's grace to their hearts. It's so easy to reject reprimanding words, but it's so hard to reject God's kindness shown through you. And lastly, listen. Oh, we all need to listen. Who needs to grow in listening when you're in a conversation? I'm not going to put up my hand. Let the other person speak. The person who talks or shouts the most during an argument isn't the winner. If you are interrupted, stop speaking and listen. And this might be the most important communication strategy for all of us. And when you open up a difficult conversation, be aware that it might go in unexpected directions. Be sure to take some time from trying to make your points so that you can really hear and understand what the other person is saying from their perspective. Catch yourself before you react defensively. Catch yourself before you react defensively to anything you hear. Remember, God's kindness is always our destination. So for us, let us receive from the Holy Spirit His growth in our conversations through expressing God's genuine concern. Let us go in revealing God's grace through His kindness, and let us grow through His patience in letting the other person speak and really listening. The whole point of a difficult conversation is to enact long-term change that benefits the listener and often the communicator as well. The relationship between the communicator and the listener is strengthened. Isn't that our goal? For our relationships to be strengthened, leading to more fruitful interactions in the future. And that's something that we want to believe for, greater fruitful interactions in our future. And so secondly, as we come around our next character this morning, we see her in the book of John, chapter 8, a woman caught in adultery. Verse 8, Jesus returned to the Mount of Olives, but early the next morning he was back again at the temple, and a crowd soon gathered, and he sat down and taught them. As he was speaking, the teachers of religious law and Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in the act of adultery. They put her in front of the crowd. "Teacher," they said to Jesus, verse 4, "this woman was caught in the act of adultery. The law of Moses says to stone her. What do you say?" This is a difficult conversation. Verse 6, they were trying to trap him into saying something they could use against him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote in the dust on the ground with his finger. They kept demanding an answer. So he stood up again and said, "All right, but let the one who has never sinned throw the first stone." Then he stooped down again and wrote into the dust. When the accusers heard this, they slipped away one by one, beginning with the oldest, until only Jesus was left in the middle of the crowd with the woman. Then Jesus stood up again and said to the woman, "Where are your accusers? Didn't even one of them condemn you?" "No, Lord," she said. And Jesus said, "Neither did I. Neither do I. Go and sin no more." In John 1:17, it puts the scripture like this: Moses gave us the law, but Jesus, the anointed one, unveils truth wrapped in tender mercy. People need both grace and truth in relationships with God and with each other. Think about a time when someone told you the truth without love. You probably felt attacked, judged, condemned, and no matter how accurate the truth was, it hardly mattered because the hurtful feelings erased the truth of the confrontation. Now reflect on a time you received grace without any truth. Grace comforts us. Grace makes us feel safe, loved, but it doesn't provide reality, direction, or any type of instruction or correction in our lives. You may have come away from that encounter feeling refreshed and encouraged, but without the path or the insight to know what to do next. Truth through grace provides the way we all need. Lead with grace because truth is its companion. Lead with grace because truth is its companion. So how did Jesus lead with grace and truth in the way he handled this conversation with the woman and with the religious teachers of the law? You see, this wasn't just a one-on-one conversation. You had multiple conversations, and we see Jesus handle this difficult multiple conversations with grace, with truth, with accuracy, and mercy. So firstly, three things. Jesus had perspective based on God's truth. Jesus had perspective based on his Father's truth. They were not looking at this woman as a person at all. They were looking at her only as an instrument where they could formulate a charge against Jesus. They wanted to trap Jesus in his own words. The woman meant nothing to them but an aim to get Jesus. To them, she had no name, no personality, and no feelings. In a difficult conversation, let us not be focused on our own feelings, that we remain oblivious to the very vulnerability of the person that stands in front of us. Let us grow in perspective from our Father's truth to the person that stands in front of us. Number two, secondly, Jesus believed that we could grow. Amen. Jesus believed that we could grow. And one thing we must know about Jesus was that he was always intensely interested, not only in what a person had been, but also in what a person could be. He did not say what they had done did not matter. Broken instructions and broken hearts always mattered to Jesus. But he was sure that every person has a future as well as a past. For all of us, who we are today is not who we're going to be tomorrow. People can change. Can your heart hear my words this morning? People can change. Don't hold them to yesterday's account. Approach every new day with that you're seeing that person with fresh eyes for the first time in your encounter. People can change, so let us never judge, but instead let us be intensely interested in each other's change because Jesus believed that we will grow and we should believe that each other can grow too. And lastly, thirdly, Jesus was grace. And the basic difference between Jesus and the teachers of the law was that they wished to condemn, but he wished to forgive. And they knew the thrill of exercising the power to condemn. But Jesus knew the thrill of exercising the power through grace to forgive and bear his kindness. You know, if the teachers of the law can teach us one thing, it's how not to handle a difficult conversation. You know, the teachers of the law kept demanding an answer from Jesus. So he stood up again and said, "All right, but let the one who has never sinned throw the first stone." And when the accusers heard this, they slipped away one by one until only Jesus was left in the middle of the crowd with the woman. Then Jesus stood up again and said to the woman, "Where are your accusers, woman? Didn't even one of them condemn you?" "No, Lord," she said, and Jesus said, "neither do I. go and sin no more. Take this opportunity to grow. Take this opportunity to live your life different according to the way my freedom can speak into your life. Psalm 85, 10, unfailing love and truth have met together. Unfailing love and God's truth has met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed. And lastly, around the book of Mark, and we heard this from Pastor Renu last week in her message, conversations that bring transformation. Do you want your conversations to bring transformation in your family, in your workplaces, in people that you've never met before? Jesus wants to reveal to us a way that we can handle difficulty in our conversations through bringing his transformation into the lives of the people that we meet. Mark chapter 4, verses 35, Jesus calms the storm. As evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's cross to the other side of the lake." Can you imagine just hearing his words? "Come on, disciples, let's cross to the other side of the lake." So they took Jesus in the boat and started out, leaving the crowds behind, although other boats followed. But soon a fierce wind and storm came up. High waves were breaking into the boat and it began to fill with water. Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. The disciples woke him up shouting, "Teacher, don't you care that we're going to drown? Teacher, don't you care that we're in a storm and the waters are raging and we're about to drown?" When Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Silence, be still." "Silence, waves, be still right now." Suddenly the wind stopped. And there was a great and mighty calm over those raging seas. And then he asked them, "Why are you afraid? Why are you afraid when I'm here in the boat with you? Why are you afraid when my words have just rebuked that storm? Do you still have no faith?" The disciples were absolutely terrified. "Who is this man," they asked each other, "that even the winds and the waves obey his very words and voice?" And in that boat that day, there were disciples, but one in particular in that boat was Peter. It would be this very difficult conversation and the way in which it was handled that would bring such future impact to the life of Peter. And what looked like a ditch from the storm became the very springboard for Peter's life in jail. In Acts 12, verse 5, it says this: Peter under heavy guard. That's when King Herod got it into his head to go after some of the church members. He murdered James, John's brother. And when he saw how much it raised his popularity ratings with the Jews, he arrested Peter, had him thrown in jail, putting four squads of four soldiers each to guard him. And verse 5, we pick it up from, it says, all the time that Peter was under heavy guard in the jailhouse, the church prayed for him most strenuously. Then the time came for Herod to bring him out for the kill. And that night, even though shackled to two soldiers, one on either side, Peter slept like a baby. Peter was at rest. He's in a jail. He's shackled by soldiers. There's guards all around him. But Peter, the word says, slept like a baby. Who had he seen in a storm sleep and rest like a baby before? Suddenly, Peter found himself in an immense difficulty in jail. His life in immediate danger. But he learnt an incredible truth that day back in the boat when handling a difficult conversation with Jesus as the lead in the story. Peter learnt that through that conversation that day, you can rest in difficulty. You can wait on God for his words to your storm. And Jesus is always at the helm, steering you to your life to safety on the other side of your storm. Verse 7, suddenly, Peter's in the jail. He's resting like a baby. And suddenly there was an angel at his side and light flooding from the room. The angel shook Peter and got him up. Hurry! The handcuffs fell off his wrists and the angel said, get dressed, put on your shoes, Peter. And Peter did it. Then grab your coat and let's get out of here. Imagine the angel saying, come on, Peter, let's get out of here. Peter followed him, but didn't believe it was really an angel. He thought he was dreaming this whole event up. And just like Jesus knew the voice of his Father in the storm, Peter recognized the voice of the angel of the Lord and followed it. He knew even in peril, he could follow the Lord's voice. Verse 10, past the first guard and then the second, they came to the iron gate that led into the city. It swung open before them on its own and they were out on the street, free as the breeze. Just like those winds and that raging storm calmed down, now they were outside the jail, free as the breeze. At the first intersection, the angel left him going his way. And that's when Peter realized, this isn't a dream. This is my reality. I can't believe it. This has really happened. The master sent his angel and rescued me from Herod's vicious little production and the spectacle the Jewish mob was so looking forward to. Never underestimate a difficult conversation, because it can be the very words to transform your life and walk through prison doors when handled through grace and truth and Jesus at your lead. Who is grace? Who is truth? It's Jesus Christ today. Now, Hezekiah was facing incredible difficulty, but the conversation was handled by Jesus. The woman caught in adultery was placed in a vulnerable state, but the conversation was led by Jesus. Peter in a difficult storm, but because of the conversation with Jesus, became like Jesus. And the message for us today, in all of our conversations with friends, with family, in our workplace, all people, is to allow Jesus to handle our difficult conversations. Jesus' truth filled with kindness and with his grace. This morning, are you facing a difficult conversation? Within your family, in your friends, maybe with your children, are you facing at this moment, in this time, in this season, difficult conversations that you're contending with and you're not sure how to handle the difficulty that's arising like a storm? Take a moment. This moment, as we come into a time of reflection, can I ask you, can I invite you to take this moment to receive from Jesus his truth, his overflowing kindness and his grace? Can we ask God to help us to grow? Father, I just pray, let this message speak to our hearts your truth and your kindness. May we sense your comfort and your guidance. Father, you are our peace in any storm. Father, you are our direction and our lead through out of any jail. And Father God, I pray that you would help us to master difficult transformations by us receiving from you your transformation power. And Jesus, let you always be the lead to every conversation that we have. In Jesus' name, let us take this moment of reflection.